Never before has the world come across four men more willing to share their collective knowledge and wisdom for nothing in return. They'll deliver it to you with such style and class and make Samuel L. Jackson look more like your snotty-nosed cousin who still wets the bed.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi.
Why am I saying incredibly wonderful things about these men? Well, I have a terrible, terrible gambling habit and I owe them a lot of money. It'll be epic.
Something special is about to happen.
It'll be brave.
No fear, no hesitation.
It'll be perfect in every way possible.
Are you kidding me?
Rangers. Pete, Muffy and Joe, coming to you in all its pre-recorded glory from the capital of Australia. This is The Sports Trench.
Yes, episode 147 of The Sports Trench is here. And once again, we've got the two usual culprits. Foolsy, how are you, my friend?
I am phenomenal.
Phenomenal?
You. I'm phenomenal.
Well, it is the, you know, a Thursday evening and you've had had a beer and a half. So you're probably going to be in fine form here.
Yep.
What's been happening, my friend?
Oh, just loving life, Pete.
Just loving life.
Just loving life.
Look, I don't know. Sometimes I'm getting some mixed messages from you. The text message chain that you would put together or the work, you know, group chat. Tells a different story.
I do chuck a tantrum every now and again. But I saw your lovely self on Friday.
Yes.
Yeah, that was nice.
It was lovely.
It was very lovely.
Had a beer.
Watched the game. Met a fellow MVP.
You did meet
nice.
A fellow MVP.
That was good.
Yep. No, Frantic
fellow
Friday.
Division 1 MVP. Shout out to that guy. I forgot his name. But
Frantic Friday. Was Frantic pretty
Friday.
Frantic.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, excellent.
Mm.
Well, that's good. Muffy, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, Pete. I'm good. Finals week. Love grand final week.
Grand final week is very good. Speaking of grand final week, grand final day. Big day for the three of us.
Ooh.
Yep.
We're going.
We're going.
We've sold our kidneys.
We decided to splurge and get tickets and didn't get the tickets that we originally wanted, but we got tickets.
Kidneys have been sold.
Yep.
Alex is going to sell my other one to make sure that covers him. So,
So anyone welcome to come along to our suite that we have. Hospitality suite. Yeah, it's like the bleachers. It's underneath the stands outside the beer tent.
Yeah, well, that's where
where we can do our entertaining.
Yeah, very good.
More than happy to entertain the hordes of fans. I'm sure that will be there.
Yeah. Overrun
mainly for us rather than the game.
Yeah.
Well, and our unofficial sponsor Tim from the Cock and Crown is a big Raiders fan. I haven't spoken to him, but
I'm not going. I went. And ducked
I was
in.
Assuming that he would
put,
be going.
Put my head in today. Called me a fair weather fan. He was very upset with me that I'm
going.
Why is he not going? Wow.
I wonder who the fair weather fan
is. Yes, that's where. Well, yes. But anyway,
he's going to be very upset about this. I expect a text message tomorrow.
But some good news, Pete.
Yes.
Some very good news. Just found out, like, this is hot off the press. Only happened, like, 10 minutes ago.
Yes.
Foolsy, we got another one. He's on.
Oh, yes. I'm in. I'm on the train.
Woo.
You are on the train.
I'm on the train.
On the bandwagon.
I'm fully on the train.
Fully invested. Does it have anything to do with our friend Gavin, who is a Roosters supporter and has basically bombarded our social media and group chats with Roosters talk, about how amazing his side.
Yeah, it does. I mean, to be fair, I did provoke him with a number of comments about a salary cap, but I'm fully in. Canberra.
Honest, he was already. He's already been crowing.
Yep.
He's claiming victory pretty much already. He's called it very early, but he's called it.
So I don't like them latte sipping Bondi.
Swimming.
Budgie smuggling.
Leg day missing. That one's for you, Gavin. Yeah. Oh.
White rim sunny wearing.
Right? Yeah.
Anything Roosters fans.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, look, Foolsy's fully invested in.
I'm fully in.
Yeah. Well, you're going to the grand finals. So
I'm going on.
So when we travel.
You spent a fortune to come.
I did. But you know what? That's about the camaraderie, I think.
Yeah. I think so.
We're doing it for you. We're actually doing it for you, Pete.
We are.
We're selling our kidneys for you.
So
I sold your kidney for you.
When I popped in today, you're going to be very upset about this, Stephen. Popped in to see Tim. And Rochelle was there, who cutting hair as well.
Oh, yes, yes.
And she...
She's a Bulldogs fan.
Correct.
Rochelle, yes.
She's going for the Roosters.
Oh, God.
Why would she do that?
Who could go for the Roosters?
Sonny Bill Williams.
Oh, and the rest.
Yeah, and...
Nasta, Marco Mealy, Nate Miles.
She is heavily invested. Heavily invested on the Roosters.
Well, that's disappointing.
We're gonna get, and I was very disappointed.
Oh, that's disappointing.
I, look, I was, a bit sad.
Rochelle will never get to touch my beautiful hair. I swear to you right now. Do you reckon, actually, do you reckon Tim could sort
just
this
clean
stuff
that,
out?
Yeah, could.
Clean it up?
Absolutely.
Keep the pony.
No,
but
you'd get rid of the man bump for sure.
No, you've got to keep the man bump.
No, I think you need to keep it, but he does need to clean it up.
He does, yeah.
Well, let's do that. That's going to be one of our tasks next week.
Next week?
Yeah.
We'll do it as a task.
Yeah.
We'll live stream it. Do you know, a lot of people live stream nowadays.
They do. I don't think anyone's going to watch that live stream.
Oh! You don't know. You know.
I do. I know.
There's some weird people out there.
There are. Look, I think our hardcore fans might, and then they'd just be like, this might be the worst live stream that's ever
happened.
It's
probably pretty bad.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway.
So, on our way up, can we put this on high rotation? Like, just run the road trip?
I'm not sure we need another song for the whole trip.
Whole way up.
Yes.
Mm. That's it. Just
all right. You can stop now.
That's fair.
Thank you, Quad City DJs.
Yep. No, look, all right, boys, we probably have digressed a lot here, but, you know, was always going to happen. Mm. We don't really have too many games to run through. So, But what are we going to do? Well, we're going to talk about the news, and there's probably only one massive story of note. We're going to do the games from last weekend. We're going to talk about the Dally M teams because they came out. We're going to do, obviously, the grand final preview. And then we've got some bets, and... we'll talk about how we went last week, which was no good for everyone involved.
Was it? Okay, good to know. Good to know.
So I'm still in front, but it's you're a chance, boys.
Oh, I'm a big chance. I'm only $20 behind you or something, aren't I?
You didn't get up either.
No, but from the week previously.
No, you were like 50. I got up twice. I think you were like $40 or $50 behind.
First time in a while you've got up twice. Anyway, let's go to the news.
Family friends.
Family friends.
Family friends. We're all going to have a lovely family little trip up to Sydney and just enjoy each other's friendness.
You're leaving your worst halves behind, the two of you?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they could catch up.
That's going to go real bad.
Yeah,
it's going to she listens. Yeah. at least Foolsy's spouse isn't going to listen to this.
Yeah, she doesn't support.
That's right.
And you'll definitely tell yours to listen.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm a dead man. Sorry.
Listen to what Pete said about you on the podcast.
But yes, and we're making
7 minutes, 57.
A bit of a weekend of it, aren't we?
We are.
We're going up Saturday.
Yep.
And then we'll probably maybe just find a pub to have one or two nerve settlers.
Yes. However, listeners, it'll be okay. We will not be out till 11 p.m. like the Broncos on poker machines. We'll be, before the big game, we'll be right in bed.
We'll be out till 5 a.m. on poker machines?
Yeah, we might. So, depends how the first poker machine goes,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. So, okay, right. No, that was silly. All right, new story. Let's focus. Focus. Bateman boys. So, a story came out that he is looking for a new deal, and the story originally was reported that he is looking for a deal that is much larger than his current one, and he's only 1 year into a 3-year contract. However, then it's been reported that he was actually just looking for an upgraded deal at the end of the 3 years. I think it's closer to the first one. His manager is now Isaac Moses, who's well known. Tedesco and
get your Sonny Bible Williams. On, by the way, with that name, Isaac Moses. Wow.
And he is a well-known player manager to up the rates on his players and get them the best possible money, which also gets him the best possible
shyster money. Pete is the word you're looking for, a well-known shyster.
I was definitely shyster is definitely what I was looking for. Like, of all the words in the English language,
yep, it's a good one.
That was the one I was looking for. So what do we think?
If this is true, I've got a massive problem, and it's not the first time I've spoken about players that have a contract, or for that matter, clubs that put players on contracts. That's the contract, right? You sign on the dotted line. Everyone has their grace period or their whatever you call it, cool off period or whatever. If you go past that and you still agree, then that's your contract. You can't then go and have a crack a year and then negotiate halfway through to go, oh, by the way, I'm worth more money now. Mm. Well, stiff. No one else wanted you. You were lucky to get that contract, you know. So the team or, you know, the player has stuck with you. Then you should, you know, for me, you should honor your contract and then be in a better position at the end of that to negotiate with what you think you're worth.
I don't believe you can have it both ways. You've got the guaranteed money and the length of the deal.
Absolutely.
In case you tear your ACL. But then you can't turn around after 1 year and go, oh, well, now I want more.
Correct. Like, yeah. And I think, look, I mean, Bateman has been an absolute revelation this year. And I think, hands down, I don't think anyone would say that he hasn't been the buy of the season. And he has been. Absolute buy of the season. So I get where he may think now that he probably feels he's probably a little bit underpaid. But again, that was his doing, wanting to come to play in the NRL. But again, there's decisions you just got to live with. 2 more years, and then I think he could name his price.
Yeah, absolutely.
But whether, I mean, how old is he?
He's 24, so...
He's got plenty.
He's got a lot of years left in him.
And I think if you burn your bridges now...
You're only going to get one big deal out of him, because and the potential is that he probably needs the money now because he wants to go back to the UK, because obviously he's got a 9-year-old daughter, because he had a daughter when he was 15.
Wow, I didn't know that.
No, yeah. Didn't you not see this story?
No. It's
Fox News. It was great. Good story.
15.
So, yeah, anyway, so he's got a...
Did you know what you were doing when you were 15?
I already had 9-year-olds.
He had a lot of potential daughters, probably. It was probably lucky that none of them escaped in that instance.
Shout out to the contraception industry.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
This is devolved.
Yeah. Anyway, look, if the rumors are true, I think it's a bit... I think Canberra and Canberra fans and Ricky Stewart in particular will be a little bit disappointed if that's the case.
Well, it's stupid,
look,
right?
I'm fine with it, to be honest.
Renegotiating?
No, absolutely not. Well, I just wanted to see if you
it's
believe
a bit
my story.
Stupid, though. Like, should the Broncos be able to turn around to Darry B now and go, like, you're playing like... Exactly, right? It can't work like
that. Well, that's right. And that's to your point, Fulzy, about working both ways. Like, I don't like it when clubs try and offload players.
Yeah.
As well, I don't think that's very good either. I think both sides should stick to it. But you're right; like, there would be a bigger uproar if the club decided to pay someone half price, because they haven't been putting their weight. Like, there's no way that would pass.
Yeah,
no way in the world.
I think potentially, and based on our discussion there, I think the NRL needs to look at some way of allowing teams to go a bit above what they already have if your player is performing in the highest type. Like, Bateman got second rower of the year. So he should absolutely get a performance pay similar to the NBA for that.
Yeah.
A bonus that doesn't count towards the cap. Now, okay, yes, if you're in a really good team, you're probably still going to get that opportunity. Like, but, you know, he should get that performance pay. And so there'd be a number of guys from clubs that didn't necessarily do well this year or whatever that deserve a bonus for what happened or did well, but, you know, they're not from the big clubs.
But that should be negotiated in their contracts with their individual clubs. Like, just have performance-based goals in their clubs.
Yeah, the thing is, though, managing that from a salary cap perspective is a big problem because you have a cap and it's a hard cap.
Yeah, right.
It's not a soft cap. If it was a soft cap, then I think that's fine because then you can always go over on a soft cap and then you get a punishment similar to the NBA, which is every dollar you're over, you pay a dollar in tax. Whereas that one is, all right, I've got, you know, and clubs have to be protected from themselves because they're morons and they've proven it numerous times.
Yeah, and they would just go,
everyone's on a performance contract. And then all of a sudden, you know, you have a good year and you've got 8 dudes who are owed $300,000 each.
Okay, it's slippery slope. I get it. Yeah. All right.
Anyway, all right, let's move on to finals week 2 review, shall we?
No injuries to worry about, Pete?
No injuries. Done. We're wrapping it up.
Jared, why Rhea Hargraves will be back?
Yeah, no, that's not a...
To get a bit more suspended.
Yeah, but, like, we're going to talk about the games and when we do the team preview. We did this last 3 weeks.
Ryan Pappenhausen got his face very injured.
I don't understand the last 3 weeks.
Don't put it on the run sheet then.
I didn't. Alex did.
I did. I've got some injuries to discuss.
Very good. He's very honest.
Here's an injury for you. Felice Corfusi had half his head ripped out this weekend. That's an injury.
It's not an injury.
I would consider it an injury. Anyway. Unwarranted barbering.
Give me a sweep before I have to stop talking. I want to stop talking. God.
You talked over top of it.
Yeah, I know. That's your fault. All right.
Sports trench?
Yeah, nailed it.
Oh, God. All right. Friday, 20 September, Raiders 16, defeating the Rabbitohs 10, Muffy.
I was going to play your music, Pete, but I've got distracted.
Oh, you think?
No, nothing.
I think we've all been distracted to start this show, but anyway.
First semi-final of the weekend, saw a capacity crowd, 26,760-something, I think, was the official number. I thought it was 28,000 tickets were sold, so I'm not sure what the other 1,300 people were doing if they didn't show up, or whether they just snuck in the gates beforehand. Who knows? Really good weather-wise. Was good night for football. It wasn't as cold as, you know, people may have thought in Canberra.
No real breeze either.
Jack no, Croker so it was
still missed an easy kick.
So anyway. It was a perfect night to see some good flowing league. Most of these games you find in the semis, they're tight tussles with both defence. Obviously, the Raiders are an extremely good defensive team this year, and the Rabbitohs are, you know, in the top sort of eight defensive teams of the year. Good start to the game. The Raiders, the crowd was just immense. I wasn't obviously not at the game, but just coming through the TV, the Viking clap and just the actual noise of the crowd throughout the whole game. It was just... Yeah, it would have been a really good atmosphere to be part of. First try was on the board. Jared Croker got one, a bit of a lucky one, but it was just some good follow-up work from Josh Hodgson, who sort of put the kick in and then chased through, forced the error. Croker was Johnny on the spot to score the try. So that was good for him. Bunnies hit back sort of 10 minutes later through Dane.
Say he was Joshy on the spot. Or Jared on the spot.
Yeah, I was going to say, why would I say he was Joshy on the spot?
I thought I was being good. No. Nah.
About 10 minutes later, nice movement off to the right-hand side for the Rabbitohs. Saw Dane Gagai
He steamrolled in and they swapped sides for him before the game so that he wasn't being run over like he was the previous week, because he got absolutely mauled the previous week in their game, and he was a liability.
That leveled it up, and that's when they went into half time at 6-6. Come out the second half, Raiders started strong again. Jack Whiten he managed to get a pretty good individual try. It was a little bit of luck, but it was a fair bit of skill, being able to sort of put it on the toe, do what he did, follow through, pounce, score the try. And then it was a really big arm wrestle from then on. A lot of back and forth. There was a couple of missed opportunities from both sides, either whether it was held up or video ref not given. And then what could have been a massive, massive turning point in the game was obviously a break by Reynolds from an intercept. So Raiders were literally threatening down the Bunnies' end, went to the left, pass had a stuck, they would have scored. Reynolds intercepted the ball, ran about 70 metres with his little legs churning over, got tackled, ball got stripped, and in the motion by Charles Nicol Klokstad, deemed to be in a try-scoring situation, he went to the bin. I think it was a fair enough call in that situation. He went to the bin with 69 minutes and 30 seconds, so he only had 30 seconds to come back on. Then... That was a big momentum shift, and the Bunnies, look, they did. They should have scored in that next lot, and that would have made it very interesting.
The Raiders did a really good job, like they have all year, defending their line and holding teams out and just doing enough, like even forcing extra dropouts and things like that. Like, they just kept turning up, and it's a cliche, but they did. They just kept, you know, just doing just enough to keep the Rabbitohs out. And the Rabbitohs should have scored multiple times in this, but so should have the Raiders. So to credit to the Rabbitohs as well, the Raiders probably had a lot of football early and should have put on a fair few more points. It was a very enjoyable game to watch. It was tense, and I was definitely on the edge of my seat and very nervous the whole game, but it was an amazing game to watch.
Yeah, it was. And then obviously, 7 minutes to go, Josh down to 12 men, Josh Papali got the ball about 15 out and just... And
how good has he been?
Just the intent, steamrolled, absolutely everyone, scored under the sticks, and that pretty much sealed it. Obviously, the Rabbitohs did score with about a minute and a half to go, but by that stage, it was, all the momentum was with the Raiders, and all they had to do was hang on, and they did exactly that, and through to their first grand final in 25 years, Pete. Yeah,
it was pretty phenomenal. And when I was sitting there watching it, and I was watching it with most of the basketball boys and Fulzy and Matt, they turned up to watch the game as well. And Matt and I were pretty intense. And just before the Raiders were about to score with through Papali, I was about to turn around and go, we just need to keep ramming it up the middle here to hopefully just jag one. And then literally before I said it, Papali just does that, runs, storms through the middle, and... Ricky's done a really good job of turning him into a prop this year and convincing him that's where he could be the best for the Raiders, particularly since the game changed and no longer the bigger boys on the edge or in the middle really are as helpful to sides. So, yeah, it was a pretty awesome win, and I was very excited.
Well, he played 70 minutes, Papali. It's a massive effort, and he was just on the whole time. So, yeah, he's a big key for the Raiders, I think, for this weekend. For the Bunnies, again, a good year for them. You could say they probably overachieved slightly, but they did finish in the top four, and that's obviously, that's where they went out.
Said they underachieved. They got the same result.
Yeah, look, I never thought.
I think they overachieved.
Yeah, I never thought that this team could actually beat either the Roosters, the Raiders, or the Storm. I never thought that they could do
not
it.
Not for a second.
Not based on their first sort of month of the year or whatever, 6 weeks, they looked amazing, and then they just fell away. Mm. And then you never did believe it, particularly after the way the Raiders carried on for the rest of the year, for the way home. Like, you just sort of went, you're not in the same league.
They won't.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, anything to add? Pretty happy there?
Yeah, pretty happy. The only thing I want to know is, are they going to start doing stats for strips? Because, there was quite a few in this game. Again, the main component is Josh Hodgson.
I reckon they're going to get rid of it. I reckon the teams are going to keep complaining.
I hope they don't.
Yeah. I think it's better for fans and everything, but the clubs are just going to whinge this out of the game, I reckon. Oh. They're going to whinge this out, and they're going to change the rules to... somehow be again, it has to just be a one-on-one tackle, and it'll be gone.
No, that sucks. But I hope they keep it.
Yeah. Mm. Well, yeah, it means you've really got to be secure with the ball.
Well, I mean, Hodgson did it a couple of times, and another time he did it was a try-saving tackle on Cody Walker, I think it was.
Yeah, and the Rabbitohs had one in the game as well.
And he literally stripped it out and went over the dead ball line. Like, it was a certain try. Mm. So, anyway, I like it. I hope it stays. But
yeah, absolutely. And look, the Raiders are the best at it. But it's just so much better for turnover.
But
football,
in this second game, we'll discuss. Brandon Smith had one,
which
could have turned the game.
Correct, and it it's amazing. It changes the whole dynamic.
Yeah.
And if you're smart enough and good enough to do it, and like Brandon Smith is very good at it, he's done a few times.
Yeah,
this year.
Like I said, if you can execute it like the Raiders seem to, they seem to do it better than any other club because they probably practice it more than any other club. They seem to be able to. You automatically see it. People just automatically throw their hands up, drop away.
Yeah.
So there's obviously something is said. There is a word in the tackle that as soon as that says...
I
think it's just they understand each other and know how to play with each other. Because if it was a word, teams would pick up on it. Like, even if you changed it every week, like, you'd have to be changing it every play for that to happen. I reckon the players just are that good.
And
not if they called held.
Rule, especially if it's like...
If held's the word that the players call. Held! I'm a thinker.
I agree. You are a thinker, and I think it's a great rule, especially if you if you drop off in the attempt for a strip, and then that attacking player can make another 5, 6, 7 meters.
Yeah, they can
post contact. So why get rid of it?
No,
I love it too.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. They'll get rid of it. And make
mind
it,
you, we all love the sin bin at the line that they got rid of.
Anyway. All right. Moving on to Saturday, 21 September, Roosters versus the Storm, and beating the Storm 14-6 in the end at the SCG. Boys, what a cracker this game got up to. Like, the Raiders lost a player, later on in the game, were down to 12 men and had to defend their line. What about this 1 minute in?
I was going
to
say it was like a minute and a half or something, wasn't it?
1 minute in, and like, you know what? Like, I've heard a lot of people go, oh, what's our game coming to? You can't do that stuff. Like, it's gone. This is a bygone era. You can't just be slapping, like, people.
No.
And I just, like, I think it's great that they're trying to get rid of it, personally.
I agree. I totally agree. What did Asafa Solomona do to get sent?
No, yeah.
Because he just kind of caught punches in the head.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you send the guy who initiates it, like he, Tau Keaho goes back at Solomona.
No, yeah.
Initiates it. He's the only one throwing punches. Why?
Yeah.
Why should Melbourne also be penalised? And that's crucial in this game, possibly.
Yeah. So, was Asafa Solomona penalised just for that? Because the Roosters then had to kick a goal.
I think, mate, well, so I don't know. It was hard to tell from the footage, but I didn't see him throw a punch. I didn't see him throw a slap.
Yeah, I believe it was the tackle that started this whole thing. Then Takiaho lost his mind.
But the tackle was from the Roosters. So I don't even know what Tau Keaho. Yeah. He got up, you're right. Like he did fend and stuff like that. But players do that all the time.
He wasn't the instigator.
Yeah.
And from the footage I saw, he was actively trying not to throw punches and literally dodging where he could.
Yeah.
But without sort of, you know.
Well, yeah Melbourne wore the brunt of that because then it's a penalty goal Roosters. So
I don't understand that.
Yeah. At all. Yeah, anyway. But it was a fiery start, boys, and, you know, already both teams down to 12 men to start the game. After that, look, the Roosters looked like the better side, and they looked like the better team for the majority of this match. It never looked like Melbourne were really in the fight and gonna get these guys. Look, they did get it back to 2 points. It got close. It looked like maybe it could be a bit of a battle, but the Roosters just were a class above in this entire game. Tedesco was phenomenal, and you know it was backed up when we talk about it by his Dally M. You know he's had a great year. Like, you know, you win the New South Wales Origin medal, like you win everything, you win Player of the Series, all those things. He just had a phenomenal year. Boyd Cordner again went over first for these guys. Like that edge of the Roosters is really clicking, and he's gone over a few times late this year. And he's just an absolute beast, and that's what you'd expect from the Australian captain.
Exactly.
He's unbelievable. Melbourne, the only way they looked like they were going over in this game because they went sideways way too much, and Munster dummied way too much and overplayed his hand, which he tends to do in big games.
But again, Munster doesn't pass the ball.
No.
So teams he still seems to be very good at making people fall for a dummy
And he's strong still as well. Yeah. So even if you don't believe it, if you're half-hearted in then your attack on him, he can still get through your tackle. So.
I'm amazed at how many people still fall for the dummy in Munster. Like I really am, because having a look at his games pretty closely over the last sort of, you know, 8 weeks of the season, he just refuses to pass.
I think the problem is if you've got a Pappenhausen running up on the inside,
you have to,
and he's got so much speed, or then you've got an Addo Carr outside of him. He's got so much speed, and you go, I might have to slide here and help out because those two guys are but so.
Could you
fast.
Imagine if he actually threw 50% of the passes?
So what do you do if you're Melbourne going forward? Because I think he could be in that sort of Tedesco, Trbojevic sort of areas as a fullback. And a superstar fullback. Pappenhausen's been so good.
He stays.
So what do you
do? I don't think he's
leaving from 5'8".
You reckon he was a phenomenal
absolutely,
fullback.
But it's done. They've moved on.
I think it's harder to get. It's harder to get a really good 5'8" than, you know, Melbourne seem to find fullbacks.
Yeah.
That I don't think I have a problem
with
that.
They had two this year. They had Hughes and then they moved to Pappenhausen. Like,
yeah, that's right.
Wasn't working anymore.
And they had obviously Drinkwater at the start of the year, who was the favourite to get the job ahead of Hughes, but then got injured, and now Drinkwater's he's in North Queensland or something,
Cowboys,
isn't he?
Yeah.
And he looked good for them too.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely. And then speaking of the man, which was Teddy, he wrapped this match up with a beautiful try, went over and pretty much steamrolled everyone to get there. And that was all she wrote, 14-6. Cameron Smith alluded to a few things post-match, particularly with Billy Slater. It wouldn't surprise me if he just went out and just wrapped it up now.
Yeah, possibly.
I think from all the accolades he's received and stuff like that, I just wouldn't be surprised that he didn't want to do a farewell tour type thing.
Yeah, yeah. It could be a little bit distracting. And obviously he's always been about the team.
He didn't really do that for Origin. He announced Origin that he wasn't doing it after, you know, before the start of the new series.
Mm. Yeah, so it could be a sort of I'll do 2-year contract, but essentially, yeah, that's that second year I'm...
He'll weigh it up and maybe he does go around. And, like, I think he probably could. Like, and his legacy is...
Well, absolutely he could. He's, you know, he polled extremely well again in the Daily M's this year.
Came second, yeah. 3 votes out of, you know, winning it again. Like, that would have been phenomenal at his age and how many games he's played and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so there was a bit of talk about that. But, you know, Bellamy and stuff have backed away from it. Look, if he did go out, like, he's going to go down as... the greatest hooker ever in this game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think he's the greatest player I've ever seen.
Yeah, and look, and I get people's argument for it. I don't agree personally. Johns is the greatest I've seen, but I can totally understand why people would say that he is. And I can't argue that the other way, that it's easily Johns. Like, you know what I mean? Or, you know, people who argue even Thurston. I can't agree with any Lockyer person ever. And I just can't. Like, I think he was... excellent.
Yeah,
but I just don't think he was in the tier of Johns or Smith, and
or
then,
even Thurston.
I don't know. Yeah, Thurston might be a little bit below. He was phenomenal. He might be just below that, but
I think Thurston's pretty. In my mind, Thurston is pretty close to Johns in what he could do individually in a game.
Yeah, yeah, and look again, yeah. So you know what? Like, I just
like there's not that many people that can literally change a game. At will.
Yeah.
And I think both of those players were pretty good at doing it.
A Thurston is better at that than a Lockyer.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And Lockyer was awesome. He was very, very good. I just don't see him in that same... But you know what?
Neither
do I. We could argue it, and lots of people could try argue it the other way and say all his longevity, he was the best at fullback and then he was the best at 5'8". And you could argue that as an accurate statement.
Mm.
So
you could, but we're not.
Yeah, so. But neither of those are true anymore, in my opinion. But
No. I just don't even think he was the best player of his generation. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And so, I think Johns was the best player of his generation. Mm. Like, and I think you could say Smith and Thurston were probably the two of their generation.
Slater.
So then you've got three, but you could argue at any given time those three were the best player in their, you know, generation, definitely in their spots. Like, you know, so anyway.
But and you see, there was cameras caught Smith and Kronk having a bit of embrace at the end of this game.
Yeah, look,
and
it was very short.
But it was a bit more than a handshake and a cheers. It was like a bit of a hug. Little chat in the ear, and then
a lot of people played it up as a just for the cameras. I don't see them two as doing it just for the cameras.
Neither do I.
I don't see them.
Cooper Cronk's not that sort of a guy, and either Smith, to be honest with you.
I don't see either of them that like it's and you know Cronk had come out and he said numerous times he still has massive respect for Cameron Smith.
Mm. Yeah.
It was never he's my best mate, and we still talk to each other every week.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, it's not, and it'll never be that ever again. Like based on you know the reports and animosity between the two, but it seems like it is a respect thing, and I think it will always be a respect thing.
Yeah,
that's right.
And he absolutely praised him like he wouldn't be where he is without Cameron Smith, and you know that
Shaq and Kobe type thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
We respect each other. We were great together, but
we're
not tight.
No, exactly. Yeah, and things happen, and people move on, and. Anyway, the Roosters move on, and they are looking very, very dangerous as a side, and they are the heavy favourites, and deservedly so, because I think they might be the first team since that Broncos to go back-to-back, but we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Mm.
You got a sweep for me? Like,
ooh, the sports French.
Oh, God.
If you shut up long enough, I'll do one.
No, well, it's really, like... Not really sure about that. Like, your reputation precedes you. Anyway, let's talk about the Daily M team of the year and winner and all those sorts of things.
Mm.
Teddy, winner. Deserved?
Teddy, winner. Look.
Did you have anyone else that you thought maybe?
I did.
Yeah? Who'd you think?
I personally would have given it to Cameron Smith. And I would have had Daily Cherry Evans right up there.
Yeah, look, it's interesting. I probably didn't pay enough attention to Teddy and his polling back in the back end of the year. But when you sort of go back and you look through his games, he did have some monster games at the back end of the
year. Oh, absolutely.
And that's where he stormed home in the votes. Smith, like, was just excellent all year, so I understand why he was up there again. A lot of the guys fell away. You know, like Mitchell Pearce absolutely fell in a hole after dominating early on in the year. And there were a lot of other guys like that as well that polled really well early and then fell away. Mitchell Moses, and, you know, we'll talk about him as halfback of the year. He was actually very, very good.
He was very, very good.
This year. And he was the... he was the Hyde version of him. I expect Jekyll next year.
Yeah. I don't have a major problem with Teddy, to be honest. I mean, obviously he is the star of that Roosters side, and so, you know, the one of the best sides all year and the best player in the best side. He's always going to poll really well. So I've got no dramas with that.
But I don't know if he was the best player in the best side. I think Smith was the best player in the best side. And I think Smith dealt with more changes. So the Roosters came back. They were very similar. They added an Angus Crichton. Who did they really lose? Ferguson, right? But you had a Morris who was spectacular.
There was only
this year.
One person I think that was better than Teddy, and that was to start the year, and that was Luke Keary. And after Luke Keary went Roosters down, team, yeah. In that Roosters team, and after Luke Keary went down, Teddy was by far the best player in that side. People had flashes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I agree.
Joey Manu had an amazing year.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have an amazing year without James Tedesco.
I agree. No. And I think there were other guys who had amazing years and things like that. But I think Smith did more to hold together a side and push them to another minor premiership that could have been lost. Drinkwater was the fullback to start the year, and he didn't even play. And
that's just Cameron Smith. Mm. You know, you probably get punished sometimes as a player for just always being good for so long, and you just go, oh, that was just Cameron Smith. You know, I racked up 33 tackles this week, and we're so used to seeing him racking up 40 and having a line break and a try assist, and, you know, a Gold Coast game or something like that where Addo Carr goes over four times or whatever it was. And, you know, you probably lose points because, you know, he has a phenomenal game and he goes over four times and they're like, how good was Addo Carr? He had that big running try, you know, and things like that. I think, yeah, you get punished again for your side being really good, which you'd say for Teddy as well. His side's really good.
Yeah.
But he stood out in a side.
Oh, he definitely really did. I don't object personally. I would have had Smith.
Sounds like you're objecting.
Oh, no, I don't. I don't. I think he's very deserving. He's a great player, but
yeah,
personally, I would have had Smith.
Right. So, Daily M Team of the Year. You boys have seen everyone who was nominated, yes?
Who was nominated.
Or who was in, who won.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Right. Who won, correct.
Good, right. So,
have you, Pete?
Is I this have.
Oh, good.
Yes. So, look, obviously, we've got the obvious one, fullback, which... is your Daily M winner of the year. Yep. So
got to be there.
Exactly. Got to be
automatic in.
I think Turbo would have pushed him if healthy, but yeah, he was by far the best fullback.
Winger, thoughts?
Yeah, look, again, just a player that you sort of, it goes under the radar because he's playing in a pretty ordinary side, but scored 17 tries this year in Mamalo. Again, he's a big winger. He takes a lot of work off the forwards. Again,
I reckon it was incorrect.
I haven't actually
seen. Do you?
Had to be Sivo.
Really?
Had to be Sivo.
Is it just based on try scorers?
If you didn't give him Rookie of the Year, which you didn't, because you had to give it to Haas, who had also an amazing year, had to put Sivo.
I disagree.
Not just based on that. Like, he literally turned that, particularly when Fergo went out injured, he literally carried him from the back end of the field. Every single time
he did, but his defense was very suspect.
It was suspect, but
and
I think there aren't a lot of wingers that aren't pretty suspect.
And the problem was, I mean, I say this in the Warriors, like they had some horrible games, but he must have been scoring points in a horrible team where I don't think Sivo was scoring points in the horrible Eels teams where Mamalo was obviously doing more than scoring tries and just taking the ball up and his defence was a bit better.
I don't know. Like, you're paying a winger to score tries and Sivo was the best one at that.
Yeah.
And he scored some pretty phenomenal tries.
I think he might have, winger of the year, possibly rookie of the year, I think, he might have got a bit chipped. I've got another, we'll talk about rookie of the year a little bit later. I've got another one that I thought should have been in real contention that didn't seem to be. Mm. But anyway, look, anyone else out of Sivo? It should have been Sivo. No other winger comes into it.
I think Mamalo should have won. So I wrote mine before this, but I think Mamalo was the best in terms of like New Zealand would have been in huge trouble without him. His meters gained. I thought he had a phenomenal year. My honorable mentions were Sivo and Daniel Tupou. He's like, he got selected for Origin in Australia and all that. I think before he was really good. He's a really good player now.
He was really good then as well.
He was okay, but he'd get ragdolled back in.
Like, he's gotten stronger.
Now he's killing it.
He's just he is really, really good and probably underrated now. That's what he's a big reason in this Roosters side. Like, that's why you can go either edge and it doesn't matter because they're going to kill you either way. Like, all right, let's move on then to center. Do we agree?
Well, leading point Latrell scorer, Latrell Mitchell, leading point scorer for the competition this year.
Yeah, but
he obviously had a bit of a
leading try scorer didn't get in, but yeah, so the leading point.
But I haven't finished my point yet, Pete. clearly, he had a bit of a downtime in this season. He wasn't on the whole time, but again, maybe when the polling went sort of behind closed doors, he wasn't really there. But I think he came home extremely, extremely strong.
Yeah,
particularly his record that he was having at the SCG. He was just an absolute, point scoring machine and just a massive attacking threat every single time. So I can only assume that he really came home with a wet sail, which we saw.
I've seen some social media comments. Joey Manu? Well, did the wrong Roosters centre get picked?
No.
Manu was very, very good.
He was very, very good.
I couldn't see it over Mitchell there.
I don't know. Manu seemed to be heavily involved in all breaks and tries and things like that down that right edge. I'm very concerned about Jared this weekend because Joey Manu is in some fine form.
Jared was my other guy who I think should have been in the running for this.
I saw some talk about Hopewate and
he was very good, but I didn't
think about it until then. I was like, actually, he had a very good year.
His stats per game, he did a lot of carry. He did a lot of work.
He's a former fullback and a former winger, but he had a very big year. It was a very sneaky good year.
He's very good. He's done that for a number of years.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think he's, like, when he came back from his Mormon mission, he really did struggle. He spent 2 years out of the game and I thought he struggled for a while, and he did struggle even at the Bulldogs, I felt. I just didn't think he was in the right position or anything like that. I think this year, being a full-time centre, he knew, and he was very, very good.
Jared,
I don't know. I'd probably underrate him a little bit, which is weird to say about your team captain, because I love all the stuff he does off the field and stuff like that. But, yeah, I don't know. He just frustrates me a little bit.
Yeah, definitely Latrell can break a game, but Croker, in terms of leadership, all that kind of stuff, can keep you in a game.
Yeah, yeah. Except when he kicks poorly, like he didn't.
That's right. But that's an anomaly.
It's not at the moment. He's been kicking like he did. Like, he's been kicking in semifinals poorly at the moment, and it's scaring me immensely. All right. Moving on then. Let's go to the 5-8.
Cameron Munster, don't like it.
Don't like it?
No.
Who do you think?
I think Luke Keary was probably a bit stiff.
Yeah, honestly, too much time.
And honestly, though, I think Jack Whiten was
had a very big year.
He had an awesome year.
Yeah.
And I know we've bagged him out continuously over the years on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think he's so pivotal to what the Raiders have been doing. Obviously he played Origin this year as well, which I know doesn't come into Dalian contention. But I thought Yeah, look, I can see why Munster got it, but honestly, I think I would have picked between Keary and Whiten for mine.
Mm. Fair enough.
I'm not outraged by it, but I also would have picked Keary, and I would have. I mean, we're talking about the whole season. I would have given Cody Walker some consideration.
Nah, Cody Walker was
so hot to start.
Cody Walker was awesome for 10 weeks, and then he was bad. And after first Origin just
Origin messed him up.
That did something to him.
And then it took his last sort of these last 3 or 4 weeks, he was really good again.
Yeah,
but Origin really hurt him.
It was a shame because he was the best player in the competition in the first 10 weeks of the competition.
Oh yeah, hands down, exactly.
Yeah. Best player.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Halfback, Moses?
Wrong.
You're wrong.
Wrong.
I don't like Moses, but that's not a that's not a reason for me.
I don't like him
either. And to be honest, I didn't see a lot of the Parramatta games.
Yeah, he got him to finals and he was very...
You know who else got someone to finals? Daly Cherry Evans. And he had a significant patch with people like Elliott at fullback. Rookies on the wing. I know Sivo's a rookie, but you know, you've got Blake Ferguson, you've got Jennings, you've got guys like Wonga Blake.
That Manly forward pack is so much better than the Parramatta pack.
Is it?
Yeah.
When you consider many of those guys, I think there has to be consideration to so many people that are in and out. There was just injuries all year. They had Tony Williams on their reserves list at one point. They also were debuting guys in the finals.
Tony Williams almost played.
Almost played.
In that
right.
final. Really? In the finals. Yeah. This is how injury riddled they are.
How big was... he'd be huge, wouldn't he?
He was playing. He'd been playing for like Wentworthville or something.
Reasonably fit.
Yeah, he's playing.
Like, Brad Parker playing all these. I think...
Brad Parker's very good.
I just think if you take Moses out of that Eel side... They're probably not as good, but they may or may not make the 8.
No, they don't make the 8.
Take Daly Cherry Evans out of that Manly side, they're last.
No, you are incorrect there about you take Moses out of that Parramatta side, because bad Moses...
I think he had a phenomenal year. Yeah, but bad, I think he was awesome, but I don't think anyone did a carry job like DCA.
The team last year, essentially, the way he played last year.
But what has Moses got to support?
Parramatta forward pack. Yeah, what is Parramatta's forward pack? It's terrible.
It doesn't matter. Compare that to... Their
best player in the forwards is Manu Mau.
They've also got Sean Lane, who can at least get across the line. We didn't know who half... These second rowers were before they played this year.
And
we had no idea. We got Tepai Roa.
Might be in a conversation for in the top sort of 8 second rowers in the game.
Do we know that? We've never seen him play without DCE putting him over the line.
No, but I'm saying what I'm saying is that now when you look at the season, you can easily say that Gozalewski is an amazing second rower.
I think he's very good.
And you look at the rest of that forward pack, Fenua Blake,
yep,
Tapau,
yeah,
Trebojevic, like those those three by themselves,
yep,
are better than all of the Parramatta combined.
Like, I agree.
All of
they're them. The three constants, and then you have a constantly changing team around you. You have Dylan Walker as your 5'8", who knows what he's going to do on the day. You have Brandon Elliott as your fullback. That's no Clint Gutherson. Clint Gutherson had some amazing games and helped them out, and they finish on the same points. And you miss your probably key player and what your attack is designed around in Tom Trbojevic for a significant amount of time. I just think Daly Cherry Evans, I thought he had a better year. And Moses did have the most try assists by like 5 or something over DCE. But you compare how DCE controlled the game and kept Manly in it.
I thought
he was borderline unlucky not to be the Dally M winner.
Look, all right, fair enough. Mm. I'm going to agree to disagree. All right, look, we've got 3 more and we've got a bus through. Muffy's giving us the signal. We're running a bit late here, which is fair enough. All right, prop, second row, hooker. Second row obviously was Bateman.
I had Kenny Bromwich. I thought he stepped up. He was amazing.
Really good year.
I obviously Bateman. Happy with that choice.
Hooker, obvious.
Smith.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no. Cook wasn't around this year. He wasn't in the same form as last year. No. So
and prop.
Yeah, prop I'm not sure about. I think Josh Papali for me.
Yeah, I felt Papali.
I had Papali as well. I think his transition into being able to do that is what allowed the Raiders to go smaller, get rid of those big guys. And
all right. Excellent. Rookie of the Year, Haas. Who was your alternative?
For me, David Fifita.
Had a really good year.
And was he classed as a rookie? Maybe he wasn't.
He might not have been. He might have played 10 or so games last year.
I think he played last year.
But so did Haas.
Maybe.
Is Bateman a rookie, according to this?
I don't know if Super League was considered. Yeah. I think Super League might have been considered a professional footballer.
Okay. I thought it was weird he didn't get it.
Because I thought David Fifita was more destructive than Haas down the stretch. Yeah, and maybe he wasn't.
I think Haas's first, 14 or 16 weeks, though, he might have been the most destructive forward in the game, other than Taumalolo, who's absolutely been out and injured. So, and I think Haas kind of fell away, but I think he picked it back up towards the end again. Like, I think he had a bad 6 or 8 weeks and then finally sort of came good again.
Haas, Sivo, Nakora, Garrick, Bateman, maybe, I think Chance might have played a bit too many games.
Jerry,
Pappenhausen.
Yeah.
Oh, it was
this, what a loaded class. Yeah. I still had, I had Bateman, but I guess maybe he doesn't count, so Haas.
I'd say Super League. I think Haas got it for mine anyway, but if Thingo qualified.
Well, because I'm sure that Haas played games last year as well as Fifita, and I don't
both
think
played
that,
Origin.
I think he had two games. Whereas I think Fifita had 10-ish.
Last year.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. Anyway. All right. Boys, we need to talk grand final because that's what we're here to talk.
Sure, Pete. Let's go.
All right. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Go. Jake Friend, let's talk about that. All right. Well, look, we know the two teams. We know who are going to be the key players and stuff like that. I think, you go through a whole year, you know who's going to be key. I think we can go through that in a minute when we go through who we think is going to win and how they're going to be key. Let's talk about Jake Friend. I think that's probably the biggest news because he's borderline going to start.
Went on a run today, captain's run. Not captain's run, training run. Did the whole session. News out of the camp this afternoon from interviews was that they are confident that he will play. Kiri had a bit of a niggle with the ankle, sat out a session, but again,
he'll play.
News where both of those guys will play, and if that is the case, there is talk that they will keep Verrills on the bench.
Cover. I know Fulsey's opinion on this. He doesn't even think Friend should be in the lineup.
I like Friend.
Mine was 100%. You bring him back in. Muffy, thoughts?
I think Verrills has done a phenomenal job, and I would not put Friend in ahead of Verrills. Difficult knowing that Friend is a co-captain. I get that, but for the sake of the way that the team has played in this important period, I don't think Verrills has done anything to jeopardize his spot.
Look, it is absolutely a risk bringing Friend back in. I agree with that 100%, and it may even change your playing style a little bit because Friend is not the same as Verrills, and Verrills has been very dynamic out of that hooker role and given them an extra dimension. It's going to be very interesting. I think still, from my perspective, you bring a senior player like that who is going to be calm at the start of a game, and, Verrills is still a rookie. That's a very big stage, and I think Friend's been there before and he is a co-captain. I think you'll see straight away if Friend's going no good, Robinson won't be afraid to hook him.
Yeah, the problem I think that the Roosters might come across is because their bench they've played a pretty big bench during this final series. Now, one of those guys has to make way for Verrills if he starts, goes on the bench, which from the mail is that he probably will if Friend does play. So they are one short
of the big boppers,
of the big boppers that they're used to rotating.
And they're not a big bopper. They're, second rollers.
It's
Butcher or Smith who probably miss out.
It's probably Smith, I'd say.
I think it might be Smith. But it's one of those two guys is going to miss out.
So what are you doing? If you're the coach, are you starting Friend for that first 15, maybe bring Verrills on and then finish with Friend for that experience or what?
Yeah, look, I probably start Friend and I see how he's going. But I make an immediate decision if it's not going well after 15 to 20 minutes, that nope, you've got to come off. Either you're not 100% right, or we need to change the dynamic here and get back to the way we were playing. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, you still bring him back. And like, that's probably also coming from my own sort of coaching experience as well. Like, you know, a senior player who's normally a starter, if you mess with that dynamic, it messes with a lot of different things. And so the team is used to Jake Friend. He's the number one hooker. He's the co-captain. They're used to him being fit, him being in the side. Everyone knows and everyone falls into line there. You know what I mean? Mm. And so everyone's like, yeah, I'm comfortable. I know Jake's there. We're going to be good to go. All of a sudden you see, oh, Jake's on the bench. Verrills is here, you know, and then Verrills is worried about Jake being on the bench and stuff. And
yeah.
And Jake gets on and gets too excited and does something dumb.
I think either way, one of these hookers is going to, if they both play, one of them's going to play 20 minutes. Just whoever that is, time will tell on the day.
I think Verrills could probably play a little bit of second row anyway, so he'll probably rotate into that. You've still got like a guy like Victor Radley who can play big minutes or little minutes or wherever you put him. Or, you can put him at lock, you can put him at hooker, you can put him in the second row. It doesn't matter. That guy just gets involved.
To me, that's why I think the balance of the team is so much better if you just play Verrills.
Yeah.
Like, you don't then have to worry about negating the, oh, your friend is not quite 100%. Like, for me, Victor Radley, he's a plug and play guy in most positions, and he, you know, he won't let you down.
I don't think they'd play Friend if he wasn't 100%. I really don't. And if they're considering,
look, they played Cooper Cronk with a broken spatula last year.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know,
and
so
that was different because they needed Cooper Cronk. Like, absolutely needed him. If they didn't have him, they don't win the game.
Mm.
Even despite having one arm.
Yeah.
They do not win the game without him last year because he essentially
guided the whole team.
Yeah, he coached everyone in the biggest game of the year and did not much else.
I agree they won't win without him there.
So, yeah. Anyway, look, that's probably the main thing. Two things we really want to talk about is winner and a key player. We'll go with each because we need to wrap
just
this up.
Yeah, just quickly, news out of the Raiders camp. John Bateman has been put into quarantine with a bit of a stomach bug.
Yes.
So Josh Hodgson was in earlier this week.
He was a little
week.
Crook. Yeah.
So that's the two. But other than that, they still think they'll be fine to play. Ricky's hopefully said, yeah, all good to go. Mm. So no dramas. But they are quarantined at the moment.
Yeah, fair enough. Right. So who do we think is going to win? And who do we think is going to get the Clive Churchill? And who do you think the key player is for that side that you're going to choose to win? And we'll shoot to Fulzy first.
So I think the key player might be Josh Papali. I think this Roosters forward pack is very big, and he's going to have to really step up. And I think he's been phenomenal all year, and I have no doubts he can do that. I'm going to abstain from saying who I think I will win. Mm. But I do have an interesting question. Mm. Why is Luke Keary in this game? How is he not suspended? If you flip that, Corfuzzi rips a chunk out of his hair and hits him around the chin and he has to go off, would Corfuzzi be playing in this grand final?
Probably not.
So why is Luke Keary in this grand final?
Can't answer, Alex. Mm. Good question.
I abstain, as you have
I'm
just done.
I'm going to abstain.
Apparently, we can do that now.
We can just abstain.
Jinxing anything. I'm out.
Yeah, fair enough. Mm. Mm-hmm. Muffy, your thoughts?
Look. Head says one thing, heart says another thing, Pete. You know that.
Mine's probably saying the same thing.
Yeah, look, I think this will be an extremely tight game. I don't see a lot of points in this game, to be honest with you. I think both of these sides have got an extremely good defensive record this year. So I think, you know, anywhere between sort of, you know, 16-14, 18-14, something around that is what I'm envisioning. Look, you would probably have to go with the Roosters just based on experience at this level. Players have been there, done that. Obviously, the Raiders have played extremely well this year. None of those players have had grand final experience. I think I'm right in saying that.
Yeah.
I think there's no sort of random ones in there.
Sneaky one.
Yeah, compare that to the Roosters who, well, I would say, at least 10 of those players were there last year. And then obviously you got Morris's, who's been there before as well from other clubs. Yeah. So based on the experience factor, I would edge slightly towards the Roosters. And of course, if they happen to win, I think there's no doubt that, Tedesco will be the key player in that team if they happen to win.
Yep, you're probably right. My head says the Roosters are going to be the first team to go back-to-back since 93. And you know what? If they do win, they're probably deservedly so, because whilst Melbourne was the minor premiers, I think the Roosters were the best side. And it's what I said at the start of the year. And they're on their way at this point in time. The heart, though, is firmly in the Raiders' camp. And the heart is at the point of, I think the Raiders can get this done, and I reckon it could be a 20-18 type scoreline. I think both teams will put on some points here, and both teams will give up penalties close to their line, because both teams are willing to do that. And I think both sides are too good at getting themselves over the line and scoring. And so, yeah, I'm going to say the Raiders because I'm in love with the Raiders, and
I love it.
Yeah, it's where the heart is, and that's what I want to happen. But you know, trying to protect my heart a little bit.
Who's your key player then for your Raiders if the Raiders get up?
You know what? Like I honestly believe that it's probably going to be Bateman after everything that's happened this week and stuff like that. I think he's going to be a big, big part. He's either going to have a key steal at some point. He's going to have a key run where he might get over the line, or he's going to niggle someone into something dumb. Like he's just going to have a big impact somewhere, and it's not going to be something he's not going to carry you on his back like a Papali or a Hodgson or someone like, or a Jack Whiten.
Yeah.
But he's just going to, he's always involved and he's always around, and he's going to have a moment. If we're going to win the game, it's going to be his moment.
I think for me, what you say is 100% correct, Pete. There's going to be a couple of moments in this game for the Raiders to win it if they can win it. And for me, I think it's going to be one of the Englishmen. It's going to be...
Old Elliot.
I don't think quite Elliot, but I think it's between Hodgson and Bateman for sure for mine.
Yeah.
I think Nick Kotrick is going to be huge in this one. I think he's going to have to pick when he comes in and really hits Mitchell. And hopefully Croker will sort of be holding him up. But Kotrick's really got to pick when to come in.
That's the other side of the field. Mitchell's on the left and Croker's on the left. So
isn't Mitchell plays right though, doesn't he?
No, he plays left center.
So he's going to be up against BJ and
yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. Croker defends on the
I was sure Mitchell played right center. No.
Croker defends on the left and Mitchell plays on the left.
Well, BJ Mitchell plays
on the outside of Keary, and Keary's on the left. Kronk's on the right.
Yeah, right.
Mm. So Manu's the one, and Manu's been dangerous all year. Manu scares the crap out of me. Yeah. He scares me more than Mitchell a little bit, because Mitchell can have a brain explosion and do something dumb.
Yeah,
Manu's not doing dumb things. Mm. He does the right thing 90% of the time, and he is very, very good.
He's a very, very good player, which they probably have under contract for $12.
Yeah. But the brown bag always gets you. Anyway, look, we probably don't have time for the bets, do we, Muffy? What's the time? What are we looking at?
Oh, we've gone. Yeah, we're an hour and 5 minutes.
Oh, hour and five. That's all right. It's not too bad.
That's good listening.
Good listening. People have tuned up on it.
Nah, they love it. Nah, they love us.
They're all about us. All right, then. Well, let's do some bets. Come on. Show me the money! What you gonna do, Derek? All right, Foolsy, what do you got for us?
Mate, I have lost every bet so far.
Mm. So you're going to abstain? Is this what you're
saying? No, I'm going to go Roosters -1.5.
Right, that's it. $1.91.
I have no idea. But I hope it loses.
What are you doing? Surely that's not the line. Raiders are $3.
Yeah, but this is what I hope happens.
Yeah, so you're betting on a $1.60 thing.
That's fine. I just want to be wrong again.
All right. Well, I'm going with free money. Mm. I'm going with our boy, Garth. I'm following him in.
Yeah, right. What is he? 5-8 halftime.
He's gone under 38.5, And Raiders pick your own line plus 13.5. I've just tipped 20-18, which is under 38.5. And if it's that, Raiders plus 13.5, it's $2.05. And I'm all in on that. I just want to get the win here and rub it in your faces.
Good.
Well,
I just want to be wrong. So.
All right, Muffy, what do you got for us?
Well, I'm throwing stuff here, Pete. This right. I'm going big.
All right.
And it's just one bet. It's going to be on the Clive Churchill winner.
Yep.
So we're going to pull one out of the fire here, and we are going to say Jack White and Clive Churchill, $21.
Ooh,
that could be. What about Denamis Louis?
That could be. That's nice. That's a good sneaky. I like that.
What's he paying? Denamis Louis. Let me check. Yeah. $101.
Yeah. That's a good one.
No, Jack White and $21.
Yeah, that is a good one. That so, yeah. He could be a very big key there, and that could give you the win.
$21.
I reckon I'll only have about 120 in the bank, something like that, when we get to that or something along those lines, and you'd be well in front, and Fulzy will be dead last because he's betting on $1.60.
I don't care.
We for $10.
As long as I'm wrong.
Right. As long as I'm wrong, I don't care. All right, Garth's got a same game multi for us. Mm. All right, under 19.5 Roosters total points. Roosters alternate winning margin 1 to 10. Roosters halftime margin 1 to 4. Joey Manu, anytime try scorer. Look.
Don't like
Raiders. Raiders by 1,000.
Yeah, look. 25 houses will get you 3,775 houses.
In debt.
One house, 151 houses.
Nah, you're not getting them.
Oh, right, okay. All right, fair enough. Right, brings us to the end of the pod, boys. Bit excited for the weekend.
I'm very excited to have a lovely weekend with you guys.
Just in case we don't hear it again, Pete, let's go out with this one.
Yeah, I like it.
But yeah, very much looking forward to the whole weekend, the road trip, the Saturday bonding session, the Sunday foosball. Don't forget to come and see us at our... hospitality tent, which is under, I don't know where it is. It's under the stairs, under the rafters somewhere, in the bowels of the ANZ Stadium.
Yeah. Yes. And if you want to donate any money to us, we're happy to take it off to how much we spent on tickets to go to the game.
Yeah, hit your donations up.
But if someone's around, come and we'll be posting from the game. We'll post some stuff on Facebook at the game. So if anyone's there, wants to come say hello, more than
donate
welcome.
Your friendship. Come be friends with us.
Yeah. Fulzy will shout your beer.
I may or may not do that.
He probably would.
I probably would. Yeah. I'll probably be that, a few deep.
Yeah, by that time, you will be a few deep and you'll be good buds with anyone.
I'll be buds with everyone.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. All right. Looking forward to the game, boys. Enjoy the football this weekend.
Okay.
Go the Raiders.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.